From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
And happy Monday to you, America. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show, broadcasting border to border, coast to coast, across the fruited plain. Wow, we just have a jam-packed week ahead of you, folks. I hope you put some Red Bull in the Fruit Loops, because you're going to need it. It's that crazy of a day. President Trump, just moments ago, by the way, was speaking at the beautiful Museum of the Bible, and the president gave some really incredible remarks about faith and the importance of faith in the country. You know, on Friday night, I had to fill in on Newsmax Primetime, the 8 o'clock show with Greg Kelly. And we just had a fascinating conversation with Tony Perkins from Family Research Council and Dr. Paul Chappell from Lancaster Baptist Church. And both of those guys were weighing in on what Senator Tim Kaine from Virginia said, that our rights really don't come from God. Our rights actually come from man, which flies in the face of everything our founding fathers meant. So we'll keep you updated on those remarks. We're going to play some audio from the president in just a few moments. But I want to start today with this horrible story out of Charlotte, North Carolina. And, you know, we talk a lot about Memphis on this show because it's my hometown, and this is the city where our show is actually based from. And much like you, if you have a New York centric host, they'll be referencing things that happen in New York City that you can relate to. And as I was listening to what was happening in Charlotte, North Carolina, I had to step back and think to myself, oh my goodness, this could very well be Memphis. I mean, the way this whole story went down, this could have been here, or it could have been in Houston, or Salem, Oregon, or Gainesville, Georgia. I mean, this level of violence is happening all over America, and people are just so angry about this and so frustrated. And this was not on the national news, and it should have been. So the video, and the video is gruesome. It shows a beautiful 23-year-old young woman, a Ukrainian refugee, no less, and she was getting on the train, and she was in her seat, and she was checking out her cell phone. She was engrossed with whatever was happening on that smartphone, and sitting directly behind her, a black guy who was a career criminal. The guy has a rap sheet as long as my arm. It's unbelievable. And the guy gets up out of his seat, and he begins to stab this woman in her throat, and she died. Irina Zarutska is her name. She fled war-torn Ukraine in 2022, and she came to America with her mother, sister, and brother, and now she is dead. And the national media just doesn't care. They just do not care. And I want to explain why that is. I mean, there are so many different components to this story. But you need to understand, this level of violence is happening all over the place. And we have an epidemic of black-on-white crime in this country that you're just not allowed to talk about. Now, you say, well, Todd, why are you talking about it? Well, simple, because I own my own radio station. I own my own radio talk show. And nobody tells me what I can and cannot talk about. But if you're on one of the other big conglomerates, you're not allowed to talk about this stuff, and you're not allowed to talk about the root causes of it, which we are going to do today. But as much as there is an epidemic of black-on-white crime, there is it's an epidemic of black-on-black crime, too. But a lot of people were upset over the weekend, and Elon Musk, among others, pointing out there was absolutely no national media coverage of what happened in Charlotte, aside from Fox News and the Todd Starnes Show. That's it. And people are wondering why. Why is that? Because there were no protests. There were no marches. There were no condemnations coming from the Democrat Party. That, as far as I know, Charlotte is not on fire. We have a live scene. We've got a live shot of the skyline. I don't see any smoke billowing over Charlotte, so nothing burned down. But if this has been a white guy, and hear me on this, and I challenge you, if you don't believe this is the case, I want to hear from you. But I guarantee you, if there had been a white kid wearing a T-shirt with a Confederate flag on it, who got up and started just viciously stabbing a black woman in the throat, we would be having a national conversation about race relations right now. And I can promise you this, Charlotte, North Carolina would have been burned to the ground. But that's not what happened here. Meanwhile, the mayor is getting out there, and the mayor, her sympathies, and by the way, she's the first African-American. She's a Jasmine Crockett type. She's the first African-American mayor, female African-American mayor of Charlotte. And she's out there, and she says that we need to have sympathy here for the attacker. Her statement had one line offering thoughts and prayers to the family of the victim, but the rest of the statement was directed at having compassion for the mental health issues that the stabber had. Oh, also, the mayor was really upset with all of us who were sharing the video of the attack. And she's begging the media not to show, not to share, not to broadcast the video of the attack because it's all there. And I want to say something here that is probably going to be shocking to a lot of people. But look, it's Monday. We need to be shocked into reality. Right now, the only clip of the video that's being shown is the part right as he gets ready to lunge, hand up in the air, and then it comes down. We don't see what happens next. Here's what I say. I say release every single second of the video. Put it all out there. People need to see what's happening in this country to white folks. And I don't know about you. I'm sick and, first of all, I believe that all lives matter. All of them. Every life matters. But I'm also a person of the Caucasian persuasion. I'm a white guy. A honky, a saltine American, not just any kind of a cracker, a saltine American, ladies and gentlemen. And I got a problem when I see white people getting attacked, getting beat up, getting left bloodied and savagely stabbed. I got a problem with that. Well, that just makes you a racist. You racist man. No, I believe everybody's life matters. But I do believe that we've got a problem here in this country, and I want to explain why. Why the mainstream media doesn't cover these kinds of attacks. So going back to the days of Black Jesus, that would be Barack Hussein Obama. They called him that, by the way, Black Jesus. Going back to those days, there was a plan formed within the innards of the Obama administration to plant the seeds for a simmering race war. And they gave this thing a name. They called it critical race theory. It's a pretty devious plan, but brilliant because it's working like a charm today. Their idea was to infiltrate the public schools of America. And they told the teachers, here's what you're going to do. You're going to teach this ideology to the children. And this is going to seep into their mushy little minds, their evolving brain matter. And we're going to start at like kindergarten. And we're going to start teaching these little children that these little white kids are the oppressors and the black kids are the oppressed. And we're going to keep pounding that into their brains for every single year. We'll have a different take on it, a different perspective every single year. From kindergarten all the way to 12th grade, and we're going to brainwash these kids into thinking, oh, wow, every problem I have is the fault of the white kid. Everything that's gone wrong in my life, every job I did not get, every scholarship I did not get, the fact that I may not be able to afford a brand new car, that is the fault of a white person. That is the critical race theory that was blasted into the brains of American kids. And that, by the way, is why you have all these millennial the women out there. You know what I'm talking about. The purple-haired folks, they've got those things, those gauges, and they've got the nose rings that the cows wear, and they're driving around in their Subarus. All of those people, the soy boys, all of them were raised and educated using that philosophy. They have been brainwashed. And so now what's happening is that long-simmering war, this race war, has now exploded onto the national scene. And that's what's going on. That's what's happening right now. Your life doesn't matter. If you're a white person, your life doesn't matter. And that's why the media turns a blind eye. And you know why? Because in the back of the media's mind, and most of these kids that are in these newsrooms right now, they are of that age group. And in the back of their minds, they see this poor woman who got stabbed to death, and for no other reason than just being there, she got stabbed to death. And in the back of their minds, they're saying, you know what? This is not a big story for us because she probably deserved it. Look at how they treated Daniel Penny, the white guy who was the savior. I mean, every single person, every minority on the train said that this guy is a hero. Without him, we could have all been killed. And what do? They arrested Daniel. They wanted to make Daniel Penny, the Marine Corps veteran, they wanted to make him out like he was a member of the KKK. And we had video evidence. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because the black man is always the oppressed. That's what they've been teaching for the past 12, 13 years in this country. It is a dangerous thing. When I wrote my book, Culture Jihad, gosh, what is it, 5 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, I warned people, 6 years ago, I warned people, this is a slow, simmering race war, and somebody's going to light that fuse, and when it goes off, all you know what's going to break loose. So I'm not surprised at how all this went down. But we're living in some dangerous days, and I would encourage you, if you haven't already done so, you need to have a concealed carry permit. Ladies, you need to learn how to protect yourself. And I'm just going to say this. Young people, we have a lot of kids listening to this show. Get off your damn smartphones. If you are in a public setting, you need to be situationally aware of what's going on around you. And you can't do that if you've got your headphones plugged in and you're staring at your phone. I felt so bad for this young lady because she had no idea it was coming. None whatsoever. Could it have been prevented? I don't know. But you've got to play it smart because we are living in a very dangerous world right now, folks. Very dangerous world. By the way, President Trump weighing in all of this just a few moments ago. Let's listen to Cut 12, please.
I just give my love and hope to the family of the young woman who was stabbed this morning or last night in Charlotte by a madman, a lunatic, just got up and started. It's right on the tape. Not really watchable because it's so horrible. But just viciously stabbed. She's just sitting there. So they're evil people. We have to be able to handle that. If we don't handle that, we don't have a country.
Well, we don't. We don't have a country, Mr. President. We've got to do something about this. By the way, Charlotte controlled by Democrats. But I think they ought to release all of the video. Put it all out there. Let them see what this predator did to this woman. Let everybody see it for themselves. That's what I say. All right, we got to take a break. Jeez, Lou, I wasn't even planning to talk about this, but this story, it's enraging me right now, ladies and gentlemen, because this is only going to get worse until we completely abolish the Department of Education and take back control of our schools and root out and reprogram all of these kids. We have got to take away this propaganda that has been fused into their education. Remember what the Declaration of Independence says. We are endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights, and among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. You see anything in there about only black people, only brown people, only Asian people, only white people? No. All of us were endowed by our Creator. Almighty God made all of us. And you've got people up out there in Washington, D.C., that for years now have been putting out legislation, putting out this notion that we are not equal. And that is a lie from the pit of hell, ladies and gentlemen. Pardon me, Hades, the lake of fire. All right, got to take a break. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Have you ever wondered why some people seem to experience God's favor in extraordinary ways? Well, there's a secret hiding in plain sight throughout Scripture. God has designed a pathway to blessing that runs directly through our relationship with Israel. It's not complicated, and it's really not mysterious. It's actually beautifully simple, a promise found in Genesis 12. God said, "I will bless those who bless you." Now, this holy equation has been working for 4,000 years from Abraham's time to today. God rewards those who align their hearts with his heart for Israel. It's sort of like stepping into a river of blessing that's been flowing since the beginning. When I support the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews, I'm not just giving charity. I'm plugging into God's ancient blessing system. I'm choosing to flow with his plan instead of against it. And the results speak for themselves. Lives transformed, families blessed, purposes fulfilled. As Christians, we believe we've been grafted into God's family tree. So let's discover what it means to be united with his chosen people through faith. To learn more, visit ifcj.org. That's ifcj.org.
And welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. And no, look, there's nothing racist about pointing out what people are just afraid to talk about. And a lot of these news organizations out there are just terrified of being accused of racism. We're not afraid of anything because it's not racist to point out who's doing what to whom out there. And it's important for us to address these issues before it gets out of control. By the way, President Trump, we're gonna play some audio here coming up. President Trump is fired up about the National Guard, and people are responding. And so now you have gangbangers in Chicago telling President Trump, "Don't come to our city because we're more powerful than the U.S. military." I think that's really a bad take on it, and I hate it for these gangbangers. Because they're about to make some really bad life choices here. Also, coming up a little bit later on in the program, we're going to be checking in with the talk radio host out of Charlotte, North Carolina, to get the very latest on the local community reaction to what's going on there. You know who I feel bad for? Folks like in Statesville, North Carolina. No doubt about it. You guys, first of all, you're going to be getting the big surge of businesses leaving Charlotte, which is a good thing. But the reality is that crime, it is going to spread. And if you have any doubt about that, I would challenge our listeners in the Memphis area and the Houston area to weigh in on what you guys are seeing out there. Because a lot of folks said, well, we'll just move to the suburbs and we'll be okay. Problem is, those criminal thugs, they're not stupid. And they know that all you folks out in the suburbs have a lot of good stuff that they want. So I'm really concerned for folks, you know, for example, in the Statesville area. You guys are a bit away from Charlotte, but still, the bad guys, they know how to get there. And this is another reason why I strongly oppose public transportation. We're just carting around the bad guys, carting them around. 901-260-5926, our number. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. A major retail chain just canceled a massive order, leaving MyPillow with an overstock of classic MyPillows. Now it's your gain.
For a limited time, MyPillow offering their entire classic collection at true wholesale prices. Get a standard MyPillow for just $19.98. Want more? Upgrade to a queen size for only $24.98 or king size for $29.98. Snag body pillows for $39.98 and versatile multi-use pillows for just $12.98. Visit MyPillow.com and use promo code STARNS or call 1-800-839-8506 to score these amazing deals. Plus, when your order totals $75 or more, you'll receive $100 in free digital gifts, no strings attached. That's right, premium pillows at unbeatable prices and bonus gifts to top it off. Don't wait. Head to MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506 now. And don't forget to use promo code STARNS to grab your standard MyPillow for only $19.98 while supplies last. Dylan, you're not going to believe what I did on Friday. You know, I had to anchor my Newsmax 2 show, which is at 5 o'clock Eastern. Then I had to stick around and do the Newsmax primetime show, Greg Kelly show. So I was really slammed on Friday, like 6 hours of broadcasting.
This is why you need a vacation.
So, well, yeah, I do need a vacation, but I didn't have time to take a vacation. So I decided, everybody's been telling me, I got to try this joint out in Bartlett, Tennessee, which is a Memphis burb called Fat Larry's. Mm-hmm. So I thought, you know what? I am gonna jump into it. I'm gonna head over there, fight rush hour traffic, because the lovely Cheryl, who's one of our advertising goddesses here at the program, she brought me back a burger one day, and it was one of the best hamburgers I've had. But they're actually known for their barbecue, like award winning barbecue. So I thought, I'm gonna go to Fat Larry's. Now, remember, I don't know if you've noticed this, but like when I was in Los Angeles back in the day when I was at Fox, I would go to Wolfgang Puck's restaurant. I would stay at the Beverly Wilshire right there at the base of Rodeo Drive, and I'd go down and you'd see all sorts of celebrities. Right, as a matter of fact, I was longtime sports guy with Bob Costas. Ran into Bob Costas, so we were both at the latrine in the men's room there at, was it Spago's? No, it wasn't Spago's. It was the other one. Knife, fork, spoon. I forget the name of the rest. Anyway, it was a great restaurant. So anyway, all that to say you're running into all these celebrities, and people notice you. But people at the Beverly Wilshire are not big Todd Stern show fans, so they don't listen. So I was rather incognito. I think was it Shaq or somebody else was in there too? It was just a weird collection of people at that time. So anyway, all that to say, so I go down to Fat Larry's. I've never been to Fat Larry's, and I open the door to Fat Larry's, and it is packed to the gills with people. And I'm not surprised because the food is great. And all of a sudden, people are like, oh my God, it's Todd Starnes. What? Where? No way. And it was like I was at Wolfgang Puck's in Beverly Hills.
You were the celebrity.
I was the celebrity.
You were the Shaq.
My people eat at Fat Larry's.
Fat Larry's sounds like it's really good Southern food.
It's just great food. And it is. It is Southern food. But the burgers are insane. The barbecue is off the charts. So the lady came over, and I went over to their table and said, I was just going in to pick up and walk out. And because I was fighting rush hour traffic. So the lady was like, you know, my friend over here, and I forget their names, but the friend was like, we saw you drive in. And I thought, no, that can't be him. And they're like, no, I think it's him. No, it can't be him. Yeah, I think it's him. It's him.
You do describe your car very detailed on the show.
That
so,
is
I mean,
true.
It's not hard to spot you out.
Which may be bad if I'm in a Democrat neighborhood.
The shiny Cadillac rims.
Mm-hmm. I do have good rims.
Yes.
I'm just going to tell you. It is what it is. Anyway, so I ordered the food. Kind of amazing food. Great burger. So anyway, a shout out to our friends at Fat Larry's and all of our great listeners over at Fat Larry's too. I'm going to have to do a salad a couple of times this week, though. I'm just saying. Did you catch the Phillies? I watched a lot of sports this weekend. Did you see the story about they're calling her the Phillies Karen?
It's an appropriate name to give, I think.
So the video is, I have a lot to say about this, and I'm curious about our listeners. But this woman, so you know how it is. Somebody hits, was it a foul ball or a home run?
It was a home run.
It was a home run. All right. So a home run, the ball's bouncing in the stands in the outfield. There's a mad dash for it. Guy comes up with the ball, and he grabs it, goes over, and he gives it to his son.
Mm-hmm.
Great quintessential baseball mom apple pie moment. And then comes the raging Karen. Rawr, rawr. And she had the glasses. You could tell she's a leftist just by her demeanor. And the glasses. That's always the dead giveaway.
You
it's
can tell glasses. She cries when she doesn't get what she wants.
She came over. How dare you? That's my ball. That's my ball. You stole my ball. Give me my ball. And the woman was really fired up because she lost the ball. And the rumor is that apparently she had a son, and the son has now identified as trans. And so her family's really bad about losing balls, apparently. I don't know. I can't confirm that information.
She really needed it.
Apparently so. So what did the dad do? So you got the poor kid, right? So here's what gets me. This is when I knew the dad had problems, because she comes like storming over. And when she like, you know, she touches the guy and he throws his hands like, oh, don't hurt me. Don't hurt me. Oh, you know what I'm talking about?
He was very terrified.
It was weird. Oh, and you're like, dude, come on, dude. And so the guy gives the ball back. And it's clear when you look at the replay, she was nowhere near that ball. He had the ball. And, I mean, you can make the argument he shouldn't have, you know, gone over to another section. But, you know, it's fair game.
Yeah, I would argue it's first come, first serve.
Thank
on
you.
The home run ball.
Yeah.
Also, the worst part is he actually took the ball out of his son's glove.
He
stole that was just sitting there. He was like, I don't know what's going to happen here. And, yeah, he just had to give it back to her.
And the kid, the poor little kid is, like, looking at his dad like, dude, what the hell, Dad? What are you doing? What's going on here?
That kid would not give that ball back if it was his choice.
So that's bad. The whole thing is bad. But anyway, who are they playing? The Marlins.
Yeah.
And so they made up for it. You know, they gave the kid a swag, because even the game announcers are like, what is going on here?
And you can't really, like, hear what's happening when you're watching it live. You just see the woman, like, she's throwing her arms up. The dad's like, well, this could only go two ways. So I don't know. I don't know what I would have done. Maybe not give the ball back.
I'm curious. Dads of the Todd Stearns Radio Show audience, what would you have done? I know what Miss Patty would do in Statesville. She would have jerked that white wig right off that woman. I'm just telling you. So as bad as that was, the dad sat down for an interview. And the dad is there with the son and the daughter, okay, and very young kids. And the daughter is, I think, older than the son. And here's how that went down.
I wasn't very happy that we had to give it to her, but we can't win. She was going to get it anyways.
Sure. Yeah.
She wasn't going to take it, but...
You gave it to her.
I decided to give her the ball. I apologize to you, but... It was the right thing. We just wanted her to go away.
Yeah.
And it worked out. You got a bat.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
Dad, do you have any regrets giving the ball back?
Yeah, like I said, it's, you know, that was what we were there for. We were there to get a home run ball. So I thought I had accomplished this great thing, and putting in his glove meant a lot, and she was just so adamant and loud and yelling and persistent, and I just didn't want to deal with it anymore. You know, there was hundreds of people, you know, just staring, and like I said, she was very, very, very close, and I'm dad of the family, so I didn't want to do something I'd regret, and that was the choice I made, is to just hand the ball back and tell her, go away.
More like the wuss of the family. Wow. He handed over all the balls to that lady, didn't he? Jeez, Lou. So you can't, you're hearing the audio. You have to watch the video because the children are like, you don't hear from the daughter who's just sitting there going, and you know what's going through their minds is that this guy said, my only goal was to get that baseball and put it in my son's glove. And then this moron goes and takes the ball out of the glove and gives it to the raging lunatic. And here's what gets me, is that that young girl at that moment, first of all, the little boy is staring and looking at his dad going, geez, Alou, my dad's a wuss. And then the girl is thinking this, God forbid I ever get in a place where I need help. I don't think this guy's coming to help me out. I feel for these kids because I think they figured out their dad is a wussy kind of a guy. I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this. It just seems to me that, first of all, you've got to stand up to these Karens. You got to. And the guy should have stood his ground, and he should have stood up for his kids. And I'm not sure what life lesson he taught his kids that day on national television at the ballpark. I don't know. Oh, by the way, this is terrible. So they misidentified the Karen. They said she was like some school administrator in, I don't know, New Jersey. And it turns out it's not her. So I would say the only thing worse than how all of this played out is the fact you have all these conservatives that doxed the wrong woman. Unbelievable. And I hope she sues your butts for everything you've got. And this, ladies and gentlemen, is why we always wait. We always wait until we can get confirmation on who the people are. But may I just ask a question here? Even then, does this woman really need to lose her job? Does she need to lose her livelihood because she's a raging lunatic? I mean, what she did, does that qualify as a job killer? I don't know about you. I'm getting a little tired of all these folks, you know, getting whacked for acting like jerks in public. Or maybe you guys think that's the right thing, the right play here. I just don't want to have to pay for somebody else on unemployment. So anyway, your thoughts here. Did the dad do the right thing at the Phillies game? 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
When you bundle renters and auto with Progressive, you can save while protecting your most valuable possessions, like your priceless vinyl collection. Sure, you sleep on a futon because the money most people would have spent on a bed you spent on more records. But forget the fact that you can stream just about any song ever created for a few dollars a month. No, no, you need to listen to music in the most difficult way possible. So go ahead and get Progressive so you can save while protecting the things that matter to you. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates and other insurers. Not available in all states or situations.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. You know, you mentioned crime and just a horrible, horrible tragedy in Memphis, Tennessee. Four children, and we need your prayers in this town, folks. It's just so horrible. Four children shot last night. They were inside their home when a couple of thugs wearing ski masks opened fire on the house. Among the victims, a 3-year-old and a 5-year-old. That 3-year-old in surgery right now. The two other children, 15 years old, and we understand one of them is in extremely critical condition. We could end up seeing two children lose their lives here. So I hope that maybe during your lunchtime, you can say a prayer for these four kids. The gunmen are on the loose, and it's bad. I just want to, this is just overnight. Man stabbed to death at Horn Lake Walmart. Man injured in Midtown Memphis shooting. Man critically injured in Memphis shooting. Memphis street scene of second shooting in 2 days. Woman shot in Memphis. 18-year-old charged with attempted murder in Memphis. This is just all in the past 24 hours. Man stomped in South Memphis. And now we've got four children shot. A 3-year-old, ladies and gentlemen. And our mayor, he's more interested in hanging out with rap and hip-hop artists than he is the victims here. You know what bothers me? This happened last night, and it wasn't until about 7 or 8 o'clock this morning that word leaked out, and it wasn't until a couple of hours ago that we actually got basic information about this. Makes you wonder what else they're hiding. And by the way, where is the Republican governor of Tennessee, Bill Lee? Why has he not sent in the National Guard? I'm just wondering, maybe the governor can explain to us how many more three-year-olds have to be shot in Memphis before he gets off his butt and does something. What a worthless, worthless governor this guy is. Disgusting. But this is the reality in Memphis and many other cities that are controlled by Democrats. And dare I say, states that are controlled by rhino governors. It's disgusting, just disgusting. Over the weekend, I was honored to be invited to be at the Republican Party tent here in the Memphis-Shelby County area. They had a huge festival. Thousands of people turned out. And let me tell you something. I was blown away by the hundreds and hundreds of people that came by the Republican tent. They wanted to purchase the Gulf of America t-shirts. They wanted to purchase Trump hats. They wanted to have their photos made with the big life-size cutout of Donald J. Trump. And we posted a lot of those pictures on our social media page. I'd encourage you to go and check them out. But you know what really impressed me? The number of young Republicans and the number of kids that showed up. And I'm talking about kids that are like in middle school and high school that came by and they wanted their pictures made with Donald J. Trump. They wanted their pictures made with the Trump head. We had a giant Trump head. They were all in. They were buying the gear, the swag. You know what this tells me? I haven't seen this much excitement among young people for a Republican candidate or a Republican president since Ronald Wilson Reagan. And that tells me that there is massive, massive support among young people in this country for Donald Trump. And it was so impressive, so impressive. And by the way, it wasn't all the politicians coming out except for the great state senator, Tennessee State Senator Brent Taylor, who's our own version of Senator John Kennedy out of Louisiana. It was just regular folks, homeowners, moms, dads, small business owners, regular folks working 9-to-5 jobs. And they just want their kids to be able to grow up in a community that is safe. So well done. Well done, Republicans. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. Coming up, Houston, Texas, you guys are under siege by Muslims. And they're coming after your booze and they're coming after your pork. And this this is not going to end well. It's really not. But I wish I could tell you that I was surprised by this. So we're going to get into more of that. Also, we're going to be talking to a talk radio host out of Charlotte, North Carolina, radio station WBT, and we're going to get the very latest on the investigation and the aftermath of this horrible stabbing on board a train there in Charlotte. So we have a lot of stuff happening. Your calls as well, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. By the way, tonight, 5 o'clock on Newsmax 2, you can watch the Todd Stern Show. You want to know who's watching? By the way, Rob Finnerty on Newsmax, President Trump is. President Trump says Finnerty's show is wonderful. Millions of people, by the way, are joining President Trump to watch Finnerty every night at 8 o'clock Eastern on Newsmax. All this week, Rob is looking at the media's war on the president. He's going to give you facts about the National Guard in cities like New York, Chicago, and Los Angeles. He's also going to tell you the truth about Jeffrey Epstein's files, and he reveals the big media's agenda on the president's health, which is why you need to be watching Rob tonight on Newsmax. Just check your local cable system. You can also download the free Newsmax app. It costs absolutely nothing, and you can watch in just a matter of minutes. Finnerty is the fastest-growing primetime news show in America. More than 40 million Americans go to Newsmax for news they can trust because we really are real news for real people. And we are real radio for real people. We'll be right back. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show.
Progressive knows we all crave validation.
Girl, you are not 37.
I would have guessed 27.
You guys are too sweet.
Sure. Dewy skin.
Terrific. Is something wrong, Ned?
Why would you ask? Just because today marks my 10th anniversary without a car accident or even a speeding ticket? But somehow, tonight's all about your skincare.
Wow. With Snapshot from Progressive, you can get a personalized rate based on how you drive. And that's all the validation you need. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Snapshot not available in California or from all agents. Surcharge possible for unsafe driving.
Live from the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's it!
Hello, hello, America. Hey, wow. Good to have you guys with us. Hour two. I was watching a Tyler Perry Madea movie over the weekend, so I've got to work through some issues today. Okay, some breaking news, ladies and gentlemen.
Breaking news now on the Todd Starnes Show.
All right, we can now tell you the Supreme Court. I'm reading the headline for the New York Times. I love this. The Supreme Court allows ICE to make indiscriminate stops in L.A. Well, there's nothing indiscriminate about the stops. They're hauling over illegal aliens, for crying out loud. So the Supreme Court now lifting restrictions on the immigration stops in Los Angeles. This just happening. The federal judge had ordered, a previous judge had ordered agents not to make indiscriminate stops that rely on factors like a person's ethnicity or language. All right, pardon me, sir. I pulled you over. I need to see your license and your registration, please.
Que pasa?
And at that moment, I need to see your papers.
Oh, me speaking no English.
And at that point, they're going to a detention center. So anyway, good job there. Yet another victory for President Trump and the border czar. Oh, where is that story? You know, Dylan, I'm giving you an assignment on air. All right, here's your, and we need this lickety split. But I need you to find us some, like, sad piano music. I need to be able to set a tone. You know what I'm looking for here, Dylan?
Yes, I think I do.
All right. Not a Karen Carpenter, like, super sad, you know, but I'm looking for something that's, I'm going to be reading something. Now that we have the Supreme Court breaking news, so let me know when you have it, and we'll share this story. One of the most bizarre stories I ever read today about illegals. Anyway, welcome to Hour 2 of the Big Show. My name is Todd Starnes, your host. We have a lot going on here, folks. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Do we have it already?
Yeah, I'm pretty quick.
Wait, wow, I'm impressed. Well, hold on, I've got to find the story now. By the way, this is the headline in a local newspaper. Where do baby zoo animals come from? Well, it depends on which species. That's not it yet. No, 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 stop. That's not it.
Quick in the wrong way.
Jeez, Aloo. All right, where is the op-ed here? Oh, here we go. So the only reason I'm reading this is because of the Supreme Court's ruling here in favor of deporting the illegals. So there is a guy by the name of the Reverend Dr. G. Scott Morris, M.D., who's the founder of something called Church Health, and they provide a lot of medical resources for people that are poor, impoverished in the Memphis area. And so this guy is a regular contributor to the Daily Memphrian, which is our local newspaper, and they are as liberal as the day is long. And I know that's sort of an oxymoron when it comes to journalism, but it needed to be said. Just want to set the stage for you. So this guy wrote this column, and you know, I'm a sucker for these, like, you know, feel good. My friend Karen Kingsbury, the Christian romance novelist, she's got a hit TV show now on Netflix. And so I was watching the chick flick. And then I saw the headline and I thought, geez, Aloo, I'm going to read this. And this is the story. The most common diagnosis in Memphis, a broken heart. Not long ago, a 38-year-old man walked into the urgent care clinic at Church Health. On paper, his symptoms looked physical. Complaints of pain, exhaustion, a body that would not rest. But something about his story did not add up. All of my initial tests were normal. So I did what I have learned to do in moments like this. I asked him, "Tell me more. I want to know more. More." At first, he sat in silence, and then the words gushed out like water through a broken dam. Or an elderly person at 3 a.m. in the morning. Sorry, I wrote that part myself. Tears streamed down his face as he repeated again and again, "I am not a criminal. I am not a criminal. I am not a criminal. I'm not a criminal. I'm not a criminal. I have two jobs. I have a family. If they send me back, they'll kill me." He came to Memphis as a teenager, fleeing the gangs of Guatemala, the G is silent on this program, that threatened to take his life. For two decades, he had worked, raised children, paid taxes, paid bills, lived as our neighbor. And yet his dominant ailment was not one that I could treat with a prescription. It was the terror that his life could still be wrenched apart, that deportation would be a death sentence. His body carried that freight like a second skeleton, every muscle taut, every nerve electric with anxiety. That day, I was reminded once again of a truth we see every single day. The most common diagnosis in Memphis is not organic heart disease, not diabetes, not high blood pressure. It's, pardon me, I can't, it's a broken heart. A broken heart. It's a broken heart, damn it! A broken heart! And it goes on from there, but I want to spare you, ladies and gentlemen. I can only handle so much. That's very nice music, by the way, Dylan. Ladies and gentlemen, a dramatic reading. A couple of things here. By the way, aside from the state of Texas, Tennessee is the second largest deportation zone for illegals. So let me just say this. No doubt the guy is really going through struggles. I have no doubt about that. My question is, 20 years, two decades, you've been in America. Not once you thought of maybe going down and getting yourself, you know, naturalized. You didn't think about, you know, maybe making sure that you could become a true citizen of the United States of America. You're telling me that, oh, by the way, you're working two jobs and you say you're paying taxes. How are you paying those taxes, sir? Do you have a Social Security card? If so, how'd you get it? And where'd you get it from? And I could appreciate everything about this person. Sounds like, I'm sure, a very nice person. Buenos dias. I have no doubt about that. But the problem is this. You're in our country illegally. Those two jobs you're working, those are jobs that could be filled by American citizens. And you may say, Todd, that's a pretty heartless thing. That is a very heartless thing to say. I thought you were a Christian man. WWJD. What would Jesus do? Well, I think Jesus would send this person back to their home country if he was an ICE agent. But again, ladies and gentlemen, we are a nation of laws. We have rules. We have a border. And you better believe that the newspapers across America are going to be filled with all sorts of these heartbreaking stories. And this guy is telling us this, hold on, make sure I get his name, the Reverend Dr. G. Scott Morris, M.D., who I'm sure is a very nice person, as liberal as the day is long, but a very nice person, I'm sure, and wants to help people. I have no doubt about that. But this guy, I want to read the last part of it for you, and you'll figure this out. Can we cue the music? Cue the music, please. And now a dramatic reading by Todd Stearns. My patient from Guatemala is not a criminal. He is a child of God, as much a part of Memphis as the Mississippi River. May I stop here for just a moment? Keep the music going. Keep the music going. Technically, the Mississippi River is also part of Arkansas. Just want to throw that out there. It's like, you know, halfway in. Anyway, I digress. His tears remind me why the work we do matters. And his story calls all of us, clinicians, leaders, neighbors, to build a city where no one's deepest wounds are ignored. All right, again, let me stop here for a moment. We're not ignoring the wounds. We are just suggesting they need to be treated in Guatemala. Our challenges are great, but our capacity for compassion is greater. If we can invest in behavioral health with urgency, then Memphis will become known not only as a city with scars, but as a city of healing. And maybe, just maybe, when the brokenhearted cry out, "I am not a criminal," Memphis will answer back, "You are not alone. You are whole." The end. So let me just suggest that the guy actually left Guatemala to escape the gangs, and sir, you came to Memphis. You really? You might want to talk to the travel agent or the human trafficker that smuggled you across the border, because you got a raw deal there, sir. So I hate it for this Reverend Dr. Physician, but you're going to see a lot of this kind of stuff in your local newspapers as they try to humanize and many times just flat out lie about people. Now, I'm just going to take all of this at the Reverend Dr. Minister Physician's word, and I'm just going to assume it's all accurate. But even if it is, the problem here is that this guy is here illegally. And if he wants to come to America, he needs to do it the legal way. And my question to the Reverend Dr. Minister Physician here, what about the legal immigrants? What about the people trying to get to this country the right way? What about them? And hear me on this. I think it's a noble cause that you're taking care of the illnesses of the poor. But every time you help people from another country, those are American citizens that are going without assistance as well. Again, these are cold, hard truths. And I know that may make me sound like a cold, heartless person, but I believe in putting the needs of Americans first. And when we finish taking care of all the Americans, then we can help those in other countries that are less fortunate. But as long as we have homeless veterans that are sleeping on the streets of our cities dealing with all sorts of trauma, as long as we have children in our cities that are going to bed hungry, we've got to take care of those folks first. And I believe we have an obligation to do that. All right, got to take a break. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stearns Show.
Hardee's Original Bag is back, now with even more full-size sandwiches. Choose any two. The new Spicy Chicken Sandwich, Hot Ham and Cheese, Hand-Breaded Chicken Tender Wrap, or Char-Broiled Double Cheeseburger. Mix and match any two with fries and a drink, just $5.99. Why settle for junior burgers? Get big savings on full-size goodness in Hardee's Country. Download the app and join my rewards for special offers. These items only, tags not included. Price and participation may vary. See app for terms.
I wrote a book, gosh, back in 2018, 2019, called Culture Jihad, How to Stop the Left from Killing America. And one of the warnings I shared in the book I wrote about was the rise of Islam in America. And the great look, here's just the reality of it. Islam is not compatible with our way of life, with our Constitution. It flies in the face of it, which is why there has been a massive push by the left to remove God out of the public marketplace. So you folks in Houston, y'all are dealing with a pretty bad situation. We're going to play some audio here. There are neighborhoods that are now coming under attack by Muslims, and the Muslims are going out and they're telling all of these business owners, we're going to be protesting your business unless you stop selling alcohol and lottery tickets and pork. Cut number one.
Assalamu alaikum. Muslim, right? Mashallah. You know, as a merchant, you have every legal right to sell whatever you want. But as a Muslim, I have a responsibility to tell you, to educate the people and let them know that as a Muslim, you shouldn't sell haram. That the alcohol, the pork, the gambling, it's all against Islam. And so I'm just letting you know ahead of time, in about 30 days, we're going to start doing demonstrations around the city. For the Muslims that have businesses with haram in it, we'll let the people know that we have to teach the people the best. The Muslims have the best. So let the owners know you should begin to change the inventory, or we're just going to demonstrate. We can't stop you. You have a right to do it. But we have to give the da'wah to let the people know the truth about Islam, okay? So get the haram out of your store. May Allah bless you. I love you for the sake of Allah. Assalamu alaikum.
Wow. That's insane. So you've got the Muslims, and they're literally out there in the streets of Houston, Texas, and they're saying, you can't be selling these kinds of products. As a matter of fact, here they are protesting outside a store that actually sells, I guess, what, ham? This is insane. Take a listen.
And not violate the religion of Islam by selling and distributing products that are against the religion, because we should love what Allah loves and we should hate what Allah hates. This is what we're here for, and little by little, one by one, we're going to be visiting all of the stores in the neighborhood, particularly the inner city neighborhoods where the religion of Islam is ignored.
So I'm just curious, good Houston people. What do you do when the Muslims show up and they say, you can't make ham sandwiches anymore? You can't serve the kids a pork chop. You can't have pulled pork. I do think that in Memphis, which is the barbecue capital of America, that there would be an all-out holy war. I think we could all actually come together and fight the good fight on barbecue. But I'm just curious, at what point Houston and the rest of, and by the way, Texas, you guys have just been, there has been an explosion of Islam and Muslims moving into your state, but it's happening all over America. I mean, you've got a situation where in one community where you've got folks that, for example, in Great Britain in the UK, where they play the Islamic call to prayer five times a day, and that starts at the crack of dawn. Can you imagine having to wake up at the crack of dawn to the Islamic call to prayer? That's happening in places like Brooklyn, New York now. That's happening in places like Minneapolis, where the previous administrations, and this was Black Jesus, Barack Hussein Obama, and Joe Biden, bringing in hundreds of thousands of Muslims into America. So my question is, at what point do you push back and say, you know what? No, that's not how we do things here. I'm just going to say something. If you've got Democrats in charge of your city hall and the Muslims show up and say, you got to stop selling booze and pork, I think they're going to ban the selling of booze and pork. I really do. Folks, this is a very dangerous situation as we begin to watch Islamic law, Sharia, being implemented in American cities. And we need to pay very close attention to what's happening in Houston right now. 901-260-5926, our number. This is the Todd Stern Show.
When you bundle renters and auto with Progressive, you can save while protecting your most valuable possessions, like your priceless vinyl collection. Sure, you sleep on a futon because the money most people would have spent on a bed you spent on more records. But forget the fact that you can stream just about any song ever created for a few dollars a month. No, you need to listen to music in the most difficult way possible. So go ahead and get Progressive so you can save while protecting the things that matter to you. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates and other insurers. Not available in all states or situations.
Oh my God! So we're having this mad dash on the phones during the commercial. I wish you guys could see what we do in the commercial break here. So we always get together in the mornings. This is a little inside baseball, but we always get together in the mornings with our team to discuss what we're going to be talking about. And so we have a big meeting. We have all the shows booked and all of that stuff, and just got the message we're blowing up the whole show for tonight on Newsmax. So we're working very hard to put it together, and we'll explain what we're going to be doing. But it's going to be a lot of fun. 5 o'clock tonight on Newsmax, you're going to be able to watch our show. Jeez, Dylan, I was going to, you know, I thought to myself, you know what? We've got the show planned out. Going to take a little nap in between the shows.
You do like to prepare.
Not going to do that. I don't know. We're not going to do it. I've got to figure it out. Jeez, Alou. All right. I want to play some audio here about what's going on with Islam. We're going to open up the phone lines on this. Are you concerned about the rise of Islam in the United States of America? I mean, we've seen how this plays out in other countries, and especially in places like the UK and France, where in Paris, some parts of the city are now no-go zones. And when you go to Minneapolis, I've heard that it doesn't even feel like it's an American country anymore, an American city anymore. So look, here's a British woman, and she's speaking out. She's a Christian, and she says, hey, this is what we're having to deal with in our community. Cut 6.
Get this. The English Christians within Leicester are having to listen to the Islamic call to prayer 5 times a day from 70 different mosques. Have a listen to this. This is the residents of Leicester's morning wake-up call. But yet, they don't want us to ring our church bells. Please, will somebody explain this to me? Somebody make this make sense.
It's a great point. Somebody help all of this, help us make sense of all of this. I mean, would you want to be woken up at the crack of dawn by, and again, they're saying, well, these are like church bells. No, these are Islamic prayers. And as I wrote in Culture Jihad, and if you haven't read that book, I'd encourage you to read the book because it lays it all out exactly what is happening. And when you look at Islam throughout history, you learn that there is an invasion of the country. And then once they take control, when you're looking at birth rates in America right now, when you look at birth rates in, for example, the UK and France, those birth rates among Islamic families off the charts. One day, unless all of you Baptists and Presbyterians start having, you know, Duggar-sized families, one day that will be the primary religion in America. It's just a matter of numbers. And the fact of the matter is that most young people are not getting married and having babies. It's really that simple. So anyway, podcaster talking about the appeal to Islam to the West. Take a listen to Cut 5.
The draw of Islam to the West. Why is the West kind of floating over to it?
Yeah.
What is the appeal?
Are Muslims allowed to lie for the sake of spreading Islam? They're coming here and they're saying, yeah, we love you guys. We back you guys. But the moment they are the majority, they will turn and Sharia law will take over. Yeah. And if Sharia law takes over, women will be beaten. If Sharia law takes over, homosexuals will be chucked off buildings. If Sharia law takes over, pastors will be killed. Women will be raped. Yeah. Children will be turned into Muslims and churches will be bought and turned into mosque, yeah. which is what's happening in London. So I think what right. they're doing now in America is they're practicing takia,
yeah.
where they're lying to your face until you let them in. And once you let them in, they'll take over.
So there you have it. And we need to wake up here. And unfortunately, there are a lot of churches that are not willing to talk about the dangers here. And this is a danger zone. All right, let's go to the phones. 901-260-5926. Lee in Bartlett, Tennessee, listening to us on KWAM. Hi, Lee. What say you?
I can tell you this. If they came to Memphis like they're doing in Houston with that stuff, all the IHOPs would be closed down real quick. Because the franchises here, Muslims, and I used to patronize those IHOPs years ago until they got violent. I was in there once when they had a shooting in there and things like that. But I asked one of the guys there, why is it? How do you work here? If you're cooking sausage and bacon and stuff, and he was like, oh, we try to open it to like Christians who might smoke cigarettes or something of that nature, but. Anyhow, the point being is, I used to always think, like, man, they could put something in this pancake batter and do it all at one time. But think about it.
Wait a second. Help me understand this, because we have a super bad – you know what? We do have a super bad phone connection. But again, I'm not understanding the correlation between the Islamic takeover and the International House of Pancakes. So get back to us there, Lee, on that, and we'll hopefully get that phone connection worked out. You folks in Texas are better off because you guys had the brisket, but here in Memphis, it's all about the pig. So I'm telling you, if they decide, once they get the majority, if the Muslims become the predominant religion in America, which is where all of this is going, then, we may have big trouble here. I'm just not sure the southern states will embrace the elimination of pork from our diet. I mean, what are we going to do about sausage? I can't eat the turkey sausage. It tastes like bird. And, that's not good in the morning. 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. So I want to go back and play something here from Chicago. There are already images and videos showing big rigs that are hauling in military vehicles. I don't know what to make of that. I don't believe that. We're not seeing troops marching on Washington. Over the weekend, President Trump ripped a White House correspondent, a new one, when she asked if he was going to war, literal war, with Chicago. And the president's like, what kind of an idiot are you? How in the world did you get a job working in the White House press corps? Are you a moron? The president said that we are going to war against the bad guys in these cities. So you've got these gangs, and I'm not going to play the audio because it's just so profane, but you've got these gangbangers in Chicago, and they're saying, we're coming after you, and the Chicago gangs are going to take on the U.S. military. So you better not come here. And so I want you to listen to Cut 10.
Hey, man, those of y'all in Chicago and other cities that are telling Trump not to send a National Guard there because the are going to scare away the U.S. military, y'all are out of y'all minds. I don't think y'all understand. We have the strongest military in the world. The and gangs in your city have nothing on the U.S. military. I just seen a post dude was like, yeah, don't come to Chicago. Y'all don't understand how dangerous it is. This ain't D.C. Clearly, you never been to D.C. I don't know why y'all think D.C. is sweet. And y'all see how they cleaned it up quickly. They'll do the same with Chicago. Did you see the Venezuelans that tried to smuggle some drugs in here on the boat a couple days ago? And they got blown up? What you think is going to happen on American soil? And go ahead and think you're going to attack one of these National Guardsmen. Go ahead. See what happens. If you survive, that's a big if. You'll never see the light of day again. And keep the threats up. I don't know why y'all think that's going to make Trump be like, oh, yeah, the of Chicago said don't show up. So, yeah, we're not going to go there. See what happens. I hope this happens.
Yeah, okay. That, They have stealth fighters. Good luck to you. Good luck to you, gangbangers. The Crips and the Bloods versus the Marines. My money's on the Marines. Oh, also, here's a lady responding to video of this dude threatening President Trump. Cut number 9.
Okay, I'm back from my Target run. And I saw a video of a young man who decided to warn President Donald Junquavius Trump and tell him that he better not send the military to Chicago because they got switches. They got switches. Yeah, that's what he said. I'm trying to say this with a straight face because he was so serious. Son, do you understand the magnitude of the force of the U.S. military? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got switches, but they have weapons that are so far advanced. They have tiny homing missiles that by the time you realize there's a quarter size hole in your chest, you'll only have 5 breaths left. Yeah, 5 breaths left. Not only that, do you know that when your ammunition run out, because you don't have enough to go against them, once your ammo runs out, do you know they still going to be coming full force at you? Yeah. Also, do you know that they can localize and pinpoint where all of that ammunition is coming from, where all of the pew-pews are coming from, and they will level it? Yeah, level it. You won't have to worry about having your family to have a fish fry or a GoFundMe to pay for your burial because there won't be anything left, love. They're going to have to raise money for a life-size poster of you because that's all they'll have to remember you by. Yeah, decimated, obliterated. This is the U.S. military we're talking about. We're talking about people who have vowed with their lives to protect the United States from all terroristic threats and enemies, foreign and domestic. And just in case you didn't know, love, what you just did, that was a domestic terroristic threat. So you still got time to take that down and apologize to the U.S. military and President Donald Junquavius Trump. Yeah, you got switches, but we have the life-size version and the real life version of Bruce Banner. In case you didn't know who that was, that's the Hulk. Yeah,
the Hulk,
U.S.
baby.
Military, they got the Hulk. They also have Winter Soldiers. Yeah, and they got the Avengers. Sir, you're outnumbered, outmanned, outgunned, out everything. Just stay in the house, baby. Go on, stay in the house and let them clean up the crime because you are no match for the U.S. military. There are other militaries that aren't a match for the U.S. military. Do you understand that they just leveled the cartel? Anyway, baby, go on, apologize and stay in the house, okay? Just stay in the house. Tell him you're sorry.
Wait, Junquavius? Donald Junquavius Trump. They've adopted him. I love this. That's brilliant. All right. She's not lying here. And I say good for you, ma'am. Good for you. Look, here's the deal, and the media won't ever admit this. For example, I'll give you a great example. So yesterday, President Trump goes off to the U.S. Open, right? First or the second president in history to do that. And when you listen to the coverage, I knew it as soon as I saw the coverage, I knew they were screwing around. So they said, okay, here's President Trump, and you couldn't hear anything. They muted the audio. So I went and I searched and I found the actual audio because you had all these purple haired protesters outside, the senior citizens with their walkers and their wheelchairs. And they were urging the U.S. Open fans to openly protest Donald Trump. Boo! Get him in there! And, hey, yell at him and say never Trump! And they couldn't shout because they had to take in, they were on oxygen. So they're having to take oxygen hits. You know, I guess they got this, I don't know, the CPD packs. Is that what they call it? They had CPD. It's terrible. No, that's not right. What is it? It's the breathing disease. And so anyway, they went in there and people were cheering. So I tracked down the people were cheering. And they were taking pictures, and Trump was throwing the MAGA hats from his position inside the U.S. Open. It was amazing. These people loved Donald Trump. So anyway, all that to say that there's a lot of hostility out there in the media to Donald Trump, and they're going to try to paint this as a black and white issue. This is an American issue. This is a right versus wrong issue. And you're hearing from a lot of black Americans that are begging Donald Trump to come into their communities and to fix what is broken. And I've already sent a message to the White House saying, hey, folks, 4 kids, a 3-year-old in surgery right now, all shot in Memphis. We got to have some relief down here. All right, got to take a break. Wow, getting late. I got a lot to say today. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Coming up, we're going to be taking you to WBT Radio in Charlotte, North Carolina, for the very latest on this horrible story out there. I want to play some audio, though, from a grandmother in Washington, D.C. And here's her grandchild got shot. And I want you to take a listen to this conversation.
You know, they got this old slogan out, they say. If you want to get away with murder, kill them in D.C. That's a slogan. That's a street slogan. Every time I turn around, there's another shooting. There's a murder. And in the district, they're killing and walking away with minimum time. See, D.C., they need everything that Trump is doing. I don't care what they say about him. Fix it. My name is Felicia Cook, and I've been a D.C. resident for since I was born there. In 1956. On April the 23rd, that's when Marty went missing. I went downstairs and he wasn't there. I said, well, I'm gonna call his job and see if he's been to work, because I know how excited he was about the job. And the people said at work that he hadn't been to work. When I hung up the phone, it's kind of like I knew something was wrong. Meantime, my daughter coming up here every Friday, and she going through everything he had downstairs. And she found out his last conversation was with some girl he had met on Plenty of Fish. He went to visit her, and he never came back home. That's all he was doing, was going on a date. That was it. He shot that boy 7 times. He overkilled him. Cold blood. He didn't give him a chance. My grandson was 23 years old. Just getting his life together, man. My grandson's life did matter. And I live with that pain every day. What are you telling the victims? We don't matter. The criminals matter more. The Democrats didn't do it. I stood in front of the Department of Justice. I talked to Mayor Bass. They heard his story. They knew it. They saw us out there crying. Never did nothing. We have to live with this for the rest of my life. Ooh, I'm so glad that somebody's finally hearing it. The man is doing something right. It's time for it. I don't care what you say. Be mad at me. Be mad at me. Somebody's finally trying to do something to make it better. You wanted to clean up? You wanted to stop? Let them killers know you mean business. Thank you. Thank you so much. Because at least it brings some soothing to my pain to know that somebody cares. Somebody somewhere cares. And I don't want this to happen to nobody else.
Yeah, nobody deserves this. Nobody. And the reality is families are under attack, black, white, Hispanic, Asian, and we've got to take a stand. It's as simple as that. All right, hang tight. We'll be right back, everybody.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to Hour 3 of The Big Show. Good to have you with us. I am just extremely thrilled to introduce to you someone who's going to become a regular on the Todd Starnes Radio Show. And with, you know, the economy is such an important thing, and it doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are paying attention to the economy. And many of you, many of our younger listeners, You're getting your driver's license. You've got your first car. You got to figure out how to get a part-time job and to make money so you can put gas and insurance and all that kind of stuff. Seniors, you're trying to figure out what does retirement look like? Well, I want to bring into the conversation one of the best economists in the nation, host of the Economic War Room on Blaze TV and Pirate Money Radio on American Family Radio, our good friend Kevin Freeman. Kevin, hope you're doing well today.
Oh, I'm doing great, Todd. Good to be with you.
Well, we're excited to have you as a part of the show, Kevin, and as an expert on, you know, helping people maneuver through these crazy economic times we're in.
Oh, yeah. They are crazy economic times. You mentioned a teenager getting your first car, and I remember that. And then you mentioned retirement. I'm approaching that age. So all of that has meaning. And really, the economy is scary at times. But it's something we have to navigate through if we're going to be successful in this life.
So let's talk about some of the things that you guys are doing. There is an incredible thing called Glint, G-L-I-N-T. And I want you to tell our listeners what Glint is all about.
Yeah, Glint is a program out of the United Kingdom. It's an amazing thing. People worry, you know, inflation's bad, so I want to go buy gold. Where do you buy it? Most people will end up going to a gold dealer or a Costco or a pawn shop. But if I told you there was an app you could put on your phone, it's very easy, iPhone or Android. You could download it. You could move some money from your checking account into it, and you could buy gold at spot price plus a tiny fee. And then you could spend it whenever you wanted to with a MasterCard. They'd send you a MasterCard, and you could go buy dinner with it, or because that's the problem most people face. I own gold. Now, what do I do with it? It preserves the purchasing power, but it doesn't act very well as money. And so that's what Glint does. It makes gold money again.
And again, folks, I want to give the website address out. This is really fascinating. So, and I've got a lot of questions, but I want to give the website address out. And be sure to use my code Todd, T-O-D-D, when you get over to the website. Glint, is it glintpay.com?
That's correct, glintpay.com.
All right, glintpay.com. And once you get over there, you'll be able to get all sorts of great information. So this is sort of like, I mean, in a way, almost like what, a debit card or a credit card?
It's a debit card that allows you to, so if you hold your money in the form of gold, it's not easy to spend it. But with a debit card, you can spend it, and it measures it out exactly at the time of purchase, measured in milliseconds. And it gives you exactly the best price you could possibly get for your gold at that moment. And then it pays the merchant in U.S. dollars. It's kind of like using your card overseas. If you were to travel to Europe, you'd be paying in dollars, but they'd be receiving euros. In this case, you're paying in gold and they're receiving dollars.
I think this is just a brilliant concept. And people may be wondering, well, okay, what's the advantage of using gold as opposed to, say, you know, a regular credit card or regular debit card?
Well, the real advantage is that gold holds its purchasing power. From 1971 to the present, our U.S. dollars, that paper money dollar, you know, in the 70s, I got my first car and bought my first gallons of gasoline, and it's, you know, a quarter a gallon or whatever. And now it's $3, $4, much, much higher prices. Everything has gone up in price. That really means your paper dollar has gone down in value. In by contrast, gold has gone up. I mean, gold just hit a record today, over $3,600 an ounce. And people say, man, I wish I could have some. But if I need to spend it, what do I do with it? They worry about taking it to a pawn shop or getting, you know, ripped off when they're trying to sell it. This gives you the convenience of buying gold at the best possible price, holding it and having it stored for you, and then spending it when you need to via debit card.
And again, this is, I mean, what is old is new again. You know, we just talked on the show about how President Trump going back and renaming the Defense Department the War Department, which is what it was originally called. When you look at gold, for example, I mean, gold has been the trusted source of wealth. And so, again, as crazy as things may be in the economy, inflation, you're going to want stability. And I think that's one of the reasons why people need to be investing in gold here.
No, exactly right. I wrote a book, Pirate Money, on that very subject. And because of that, five states in the U.S., starting with, Arkansas first, then Florida, then Louisiana, then Texas, and then Missouri, have all gone back to what was old, which is the U.S. Constitution, and enacted Article 1, Section 10, making gold and silver money again. And Glint is the technology that makes that possible.
So you can literally, so let's just say, I've got the Glint card, and I'm down at Kroger, and I want to buy my groceries, and I want to use gold to buy my – I would be able to do that.
Sure, and Kroger wouldn't know the difference unless they figured it out, and I said they'd rather keep the gold than have the U.S. dollars. But you're absolutely able to pay in gold. And if you want to hold on to it until you need it, you can do that also. The Glint card makes it possible to buy, hold, and sell gold very conveniently.
I love it. So let's just say, you know, you've got $70,000 in your, you know, your account, your gold account, and you're down at Kroger, and it'll just tell you, okay, here's how much money you have left after buying all your groceries.
Yeah, you'll see it right there on the app. And the amazing thing, gold prices fluctuate, so it can go down as well as up. But when I put some money into my gold account, I spent a good amount of it just to test it out. And then I looked at it a few weeks later, and it was actually more than I'd invested because the price of gold had gone up. Now, if the price of gold had gone down, I would have less in there. But it is a means to buy, hold, and spend gold conveniently. And Americans have never had that opportunity before.
Folks, again, if you want information, go to glintpay.com. They're going to ask you for a code, and I want you to use my first name, Todd, T-O-D-D. Now, when people go to the website, glintpay.com, Kevin, what are they going to be doing? What do you want them to do once they get to the website?
Well, I think they should first read about the whys and then sign up to get a Glint card. You put it on your app. There's a, up in the right-hand corner at the top, it'll say get the app, and that's where you'll get the app. You use a QR code on your phone, and then use the code Todd when you sign up, T-O-D-D.
And as a matter of fact, folks, you can use it, and you just heard us talking about it, but if you want to go down to your coffee shop, maybe you want to buy an airline flight, you can do that using your Glint prepaid debit card, which is accepted in over 200 countries and territories around the world, and, of course, more importantly, right here in the good old U.S. of A. You know, I'm curious how many folks are using this, because this is, it seems to me, at least to me, it's a new concept.
It's a fairly new concept, but when we passed this legislation in those five states, it woke a lot of people up. So we're talking tens of thousands of people have already joined, but many, many more are coming. I get asked every day, and I don't work for Glint. I don't own any in Glint at this point, although I'd like to buy into that company. But what I've learned is that when people learn about this, they want it. And when they want it, they get it. And when they get it, they use it. And when they use it, they're happy.
Well, I just think this is tremendous. And again, folks, I want you to go to glintpay.com. That's Glint, G-L-I-N-T, pay.com. And you'll be able to get all sorts of information and educate yourself. And then you're going to want to do the same thing that I'm going to be doing, which is getting my own Glint card. Kevin, we're going to get you back on. We've got a lot of questions about the economy and not a lot of time left today. And also, folks, you gotta check out Kevin's book, Pirate Money. You can get that wherever you buy your books. Kevin, again, we really appreciate you and the great information, and welcome to the show.
Thank you, Todd. Honored to be with you.
All right. There you have it, folks. Kevin Freeman, economist and host of Economic War Room on Blaze TV. He's also on Pirate Money Radio, on American Family Radio, AFR. And you got to read his book, Pirate Money. GlintPay, GlintPay.com. Be sure to use code Todd, T-O-D-D, once you get there. Got to take a break. We'll be right back. All right. Welcome back, everybody. And by the way, that website address again from our good friend Kevin over at it's Glint, G-L-I-N-T-Pay. glintpay.com, and use the code Todd, and you'll be able to check it out and get all the great information there. Again, our number here, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. All right, Sebastian Gorka on my Newsmax show Friday, weighing in on the Department of War. Take a listen. Sebastian Gorka, Dr. G, good to see you, sir. So what's your reaction to the rebranding here?
I am so excited in so many ways, I can't tell you, my friend. Not least of which is, you're sure you're familiar with it, the Eisenhower building. So most people who say who work in the White House don't actually work in the West Wing, because the West Wing is tiny, Todd. It's not like the TV show. You can basically walk around the whole West Wing in 90 seconds. If you work in the White House, you actually probably work in the EEOB, the Eisenhower Executive Office Building, that grand, huge granite and marble building next to the White House. And my favorite part of that building, because it's like a museum, because it has been kept in the same stasis more than 150 years, is the Secretary of War suite. And I like to take as many of my meetings with guests that aren't classified meetings in the Secretary of War suite, which was the proto-OG Pentagon. Well, now we're going back to those times, and we have a Secretary of War, my friend Pete Hegseth. The Pentagon is now the Department of War, and we're sending a message. This isn't a warmongering regime, but just like those Trende Aragua killers on that boat, if you threaten American lives, we're going to come down on you like the hammers of hell and turn you into red mist. So America is back, my friend. America is back.
Well said. Let's take a listen to what the president had to say about the change.
I think it sends a message of victory. I think it sends a message of strength. We're very strong. We're much stronger than anyone would really understand. We never fought to win. We just didn't fight to win. We didn't lose anything, but we didn't fight to win. We could have won every one of those wars quickly, but they went a route that I think was probably politically correct, but not correct for our nation. So I think the Department of War sends a signal.
And of course, Seb, the president also in that very long presser today, which we carried on Newsmax, said regarding those Venezuelan fighter jets, anybody comes close to the U.S. warships, you do what you got to do.
He did. He turned to Raising Cane, General Cane, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, standing right next to Pete Hegseth, the Secretary of Defense. And he said, you have everything you need, don't you, General Kane? If our vessels are threatened, if our military ships and aircraft in international waters that are keeping us safe from the drugs that have poisoned more than 100,000 Americans every year under the Biden administration, you will take all necessary action. And he's not a man of many words, but the chairman said, yes, sir, we are ready.
No doubt about that. I want to switch gears here. Said President Trump posting on Truth Social today. Looks like we've lost India and Russia to deepest, darkest China. May they have a long and prosperous future together. Now, this comes after President Xi of China hosted Putin and Kim Jong-un at their military parade this week. Now, China welcoming the Indian Prime Minister Modi as well. How serious is it for the United States security interest that India is now appearing alongside Xi and Putin?
It's not serious for us. It's serious for them. They need to know that we are not a superpower. We are a hyperpower, Todd. There is nobody who comes close to us, whether it's our 12 nuclear aircraft carriers, whether it's our latest jet fighters. The president announced, of course, the F-47 not too long ago, whether it's our submersibles, our cyber capabilities. Nobody can touch us. It is very unwise for you to make your bed with the world's largest communist dictatorship. So this is a bad choice for Russia. It's a bad choice for India. And there will probably be consequences. Remember, the president is rewriting the rule book globally, especially when it comes to trade and economics. The trade tariff system is the biggest tectonic shift since Bretton Woods was originally established. You're just not a smart government if you go against this administration and how we are promising prosperity for all of those who wish to work with us. So it's not a problem for us, Todd. It's a problem for them.
All right. There you have it, Sebastian Gorka. And I got to tell you, I love the new name. What is old is new again. And this is absolutely a wonderful thing that's happening with the Department of War. You know, I was getting some blowback. Malik Abdul, one of the rhinos, out there, you see him a lot on CNN, said, well, wait a second, I thought this was the president of peace. Yes, he is the president of peace. And they can't get it through their thick skulls that President Trump is talking tough. What is it Teddy Roosevelt said? Speak softly and carry a big stick. That's exactly what President Trump is doing here. And the problem is that we've had presidents going all the way, and we're talking about Republican presidents, George W. Bush, Barack Hussein Obama, Joe Biden. Their feckless policies have gotten this nation involved in wars we had no business fighting. To this day, I still can't figure out why, and someone can tell me why, we were fighting a war in Iraq. It made absolutely no sense to me. So God bless President Trump, because he is playing hardball and it is resonating with world leaders. They understand that we understand how powerful the United States of America is. You don't want to mess around with us. That is ultimately the lesson here. You don't want to mess around with the United States of America. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Coming up tonight, we're going to have wall-to-wall coverage of what President Trump had to say at the Museum of the Bible. And the president really laid it out, and he's talking about issues that truly do matter. Because when you look at what's happening in this country, especially on the issue of crime, there are two components of this. First is restoring law and order, and we've got to do that. But secondly, we've got to address the root cause. And the root cause, contrary to the Democrats, is not poverty. The root cause of crime in America is something called S-I-N, sin. And until we can get a handle on that, we're not going to ever be able to fix this issue. So I appreciate the fact that President Trump took time today to explain to the nation why we've got to get back to church, we've got to get back to prayer, and we've got to get back to reading the Bible. And by the way, that's why you also need to be reading my new book, Star Spangled Blessings, Devotions for Patriots. It's an important book for you to read. It's an important book for your kids to read. Hope you get a copy, Amazon, wherever you buy your books, Star Spangled Blessings, Devotions for Patriots. We'll be right back, everybody. And welcome back, everybody. Great to have you with us today here on the Todd Starnes Radio Show. And I was getting a message from Bill out of Statesville, North Carolina, and says, Todd, thank you for your concern on your show for Statesville. One huge positive here is we have Sheriff Darren Campbell, the best sheriff in North Carolina and one of the best in the country. You know, I had a chance to meet the sheriff. I like this guy. And look, that's the thing. You counties that are adjacent to these big metro areas, man, you really have to beef up your law enforcement. You've got to make sure you have great law enforcement. And clearly, you guys do in Statesville with Sheriff Darren Campbell. A lot of listeners in those parts, WSIC, our great affiliate there. But Bill, appreciate you weighing in on that. So earlier today, I had a chance to sit down with Peter Kalliner, who is the afternoon radio host on WBT there in Charlotte. Let's take a listen. All right, let's go to our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Pete Kalliner joins us, a great radio host there in the Charlotte area. WBT is the station there. Pete, this is just an insane story that has really gripped the nation.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting how it took so long for it to happen. It's been over 3 weeks now, I guess approaching a month since this 23-year-old Ukrainian refugee was stabbed to death, murdered, unprovoked, on a train in South Charlotte. And for folks who aren't aware, this light rail line runs through an area of town called South End, which before the light rail was built, it was just like desolate, old manufacturing and stuff. Since the light rail was built, it has boomed. We call it Millennial Row, a whole bunch of young, you know, professionals and such that live there. And they built the platforms. They built the train system as sort of an open system, a lot of people think it's free because there's no fare enforcement either on the trains. There's no turnstiles. And from the beginning, people said, you know, you're going to basically create rolling homeless shelters. And that has now come into effect where we see people that just ride the train all around and they don't pay to get on. And then they're not ever confronted once they're on the train and they can just kind of jump on and jump off.
This is insane, and I've just been shocked by the mayor's reaction here. The language that she's been using and the way she's approaching this horrible tragedy is much like what we have seen in my hometown of Memphis, Tennessee. We're controlled by Democrats, and the mayor is always quick to blame the media. And say, you know, he says the problem is the media is covering these crimes. If they didn't cover the crimes, we wouldn't have a problem.
Right. Well, that's I call it rule number two of journalisming, which is when the scandal involves a Democrat, then the story is the Republican response to the scandal rather than the scandal. If it was about a Republican, then the story is the scandal, obviously. And in fact, the mayor, Vi Lyles, and all the city council is up for election right now. We're in the middle of the Democrat primary. Our city is controlled by Democrats as well, which is part of the reason why a lot of the elected officials wanted this story to just kind of go away, because it highlights the failures on the transit system. Also, we're getting ready to have in November a referendum to increase our sales tax by 1 cent to pay for expansion of the transit system. So you got a lot of business boosters and the chamber and stuff. They don't want this story being covered, but then the video comes out over the weekend, and that's really what made it into this national story. And when the mayor first responded to this story after 4 days, she spent one line saying thoughts and prayers to the victim, did not name her, and then five paragraphs talking about how the system and the community failed the attacker in some way. And this is always the case. It's always somehow or another, the system failed. We didn't do enough in order to, you know, provide the services for this person, rather than the fact that this guy had a rap sheet going back over a decade and his own parents had kicked him out of the house because he was aggressive and mentally unstable.
It's really remarkable to see. And you're right. I was flabbergasted here because now the criminal becomes the true victim of all of this. I'm curious about your audience and what people are saying there in Charlotte and the outlying areas. I mean, you guys have a massive radio station there, and I have to imagine a lot of folks have been weighing in.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, for a lot of people, our audience tends to live sort of out in the suburbs. And so this is what they cite this as a reason why they will not ride the transit system, which, of course, now, you know, calls into question whether that referendum vote to expand it is going to be successful. And here's the thing. Any mass transit system, no matter where you are, relies on a high trust society. People have to believe that when they get on the bus or they get on the train, that they're going to be safe, relatively speaking, right? That they're going to be able to use the transit system and not have to be accosted by panhandlers or criminals. And when you cannot provide that basic level of security, this is like first order government responsibility, right? Provide the security. And if you can't even do that, then you can't run a transit system that's going to do anything other than hemorrhage money, because people don't want to get on the trains because they don't feel safe.
Pete, and again, Pete Callender joining us here. He is the radio host, a very popular radio host in Charlotte on WBT. Pete, I'm curious here. I know in Memphis, the deadliest city and most dangerous city in America.
Thank you.
Yes. I mean, you guys are the queen city, but we're the king when it comes to a crime. But we keep sending back the same Democrats who are creating these policies. And I'm wondering if the similar thing is happening there in Charlotte.
Yes. When I first started at WBT in 1999, I was a reporter for about a decade covering city council. And at that time, we had a Republican majority. It wasn't that long ago. It was only probably within the last 20 years that it slowly became more and more Democrat. It is now completely controlled at the city level, at the county level as well, school board. Now, our state has flipped Republican, but the local city and county are all controlled by Democrats. And, you know, that's that these are policy choices that these officials have made in order to placate their radical base in the Democrat primaries, because that's where they win their elections. And then they, of course, redistrict at the city council district level. They keep a bunch of at-large seats. So this way they always maintain this massive majority on the city. And I keep saying this, is that this is all a choice. You know, we pick these politicians, and then the politicians pick these policies. And so this will stop when we want it to stop, as is evidenced by what Donald Trump has been doing up in D.C. It's a choice. If you do not, and one of the lines coming out of the transit system now is like, well, the way this attack occurred against this young woman, she didn't see it coming. Nobody, you know, a cop could not have prevented it. Nobody could have prevented it because the guy gave no warning. However, that ignores the deterrent effect that the mere presence of law enforcement on a train might have prevented this guy from taking the action, right? They always ignore this, and they say, well, you know, the cops were called immediately. We caught him within 6 minutes. And they only caught him within 6 minutes on a train platform because he didn't run, because he's mentally deranged. He didn't take off. Had he run, he probably would have got away. So they're claiming success for, like, this, you know, our security system worked. But it didn't, not for this Ukrainian refugee who came here to avoid a war and ended up being murdered on our train.
Well, or just, you know, keeping this guy in jail for the multitude of crimes that he's been convicted of, from armed robbery, larceny, breaking and entering, shoplifting. I mean, this is insane. But again, the national media refuses to cover these kinds of stories. And I know even Elon Musk is weighing in on this right now, Pete. Again, if this had been a black victim, I think we would have had a very different reaction coming out of City Hall in Charlotte.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there would be a quote unquote national conversation. There would be protests in the streets, and I know, we know this in Charlotte because it did happen. Even before George Floyd, there was a guy who was shot and killed by law enforcement, and everyone said, "Oh, white cop killed a black guy," who was, by the way, pointing a gun at the officers. And then it turned out later on, everybody found out that the officer that shot and killed the black man was also black, which, of course, didn't stop the protests and the violence and the marches and all of that. And if you want, I mean, the perfect analogy here is Daniel Penny, right, out of the New York City subway. Look at the coverage that that case got versus the coverage that this case gets. And this is, you know, to quote one of the reporters, I think, at Washington Post during the Kermit Gosnell trial. This is a local crime story, I guess, right? For Charlotte, this is just a local crime story. But Daniel Penny restrains a deranged man on a subway, and that becomes a national story. And we have to have a national conversation about this sort of thing. And it is very difficult to believe that it has anything other to do than his race.
Wow. All right. Well, Pete, I know you're going to be a busy guy today. No doubt about it. You guys are going to be swamp covering this story. We certainly appreciate you taking time and chatting with our national audience.
Thank you for the time, and we appreciate you focusing on the story as well.
Well, I hope you are loving your membership into the Association of Mature American Citizens. I know I am. And I don't think I'm all that mature. And look, there's a reason for that. You don't have to be a senior citizen to join AMAC. They are the conservative alternative to AARP, no doubt about that. But they're also opening up their membership to conservatives of all ages. And I love that. Again, they stand for faith, family, freedom, and common sense. And you're going to get some great benefits. Get this: massive discounts on travel, insurance, prescription drugs. How many of you have been looking for those kinds of discounts? Well, AMAC has them. Also, a subscription to the AMAC magazine, really one of the best publications out there for patriotic Americans. And the best part, folks, it's $1.20 a month. That's it. $1.20 a month with a 5-year membership. That's awesome. Go to amac.us/starns and join the fight to keep America strong. That's amac.us/starns. $1.20 a month with a 5-year membership. You're going to love it. I've got a lifetime membership. You ought to get one as well. amac.us/starns. All the information is there. All right, this crazy story out of Newsmax. This is from New York City, a Democrat stronghold trying to force a property owner to remove a pro-Trump flag. Leonard Amicola lives in a little town in the burbs called Croton-on-Hudson. And the guy's been ticketed and told that his Trump is my president flag has to come down because it doesn't follow, are you ready for this, the village's content-neutral code. Mr. Amicola is a disabled Vietnam War veteran. He's lived in the village for 67 years, and he's telling Newsmax that he had displayed support for President Trump since 2021. He also added that his right to fly the flag is protected by the U.S. Constitution. Mr. Amicola said, I did at one time have it on the pole, and one night somebody came, took it, and it was gone. So that's when he hung the flag between two trees. Mr. Amicola is an Italian immigrant, and he said his personal beliefs stem from having a father who fled a fascist dictatorship, that would be Benito Mussolini, to come to America. Mr. Amicola said, people ask me why I don't surrender and take down my flag. Well, it's because of my values that I learned growing up here in Croton, and it's because I am my father's son. So the poor guy's been getting threats. People have thrown rocks at the flag. But he also said there are a lot of people in town that have been very supportive. Now, the attorney for Mr. Amicola said the village served her client with a notice of violation about a month and a half ago. And he also has to appear before the village court. He's been charged with violating the code. His attorney says they may have to take the matter all the way to federal court. They say they believe the village's enforcement action is unfair, that it targets the content of his speech rather than simply the display. The mayor says this issue was a straightforward code enforcement matter and not a free speech issue. Let's just put a pin in that for just a moment. If the town has a code that says you must be content neutral, that's a violation of the U.S. Constitution. The mayor says they've had a long-standing prohibition on banners, and it applies to all properties. He added that 17 other properties were recently asked to remove banners that did not adhere to the code. All right, well, I'm just going to play devil's advocate here for just a moment. So let's just say that you've got, we'll say two drugstores in town, and one of the drugstores puts up a banner supporting its and promoting its drugstore, right? Promoting their drugstore. Well, would they be in violation of the code because they're not content neutral? No, of course not. That's common sense. According to Newsmax, Croton-on-Hudson supported President Biden in the last election with 71% of the vote. Well, there you go. That's the problem. You got a bunch of wannabe communists living in that town. Unbelievable. Well, I say good for you, Mr. Amicola, for fighting this, and good luck to you, sir. And this item from Washington, D.C., from Fox News. A D.C. pizzeria says hosting President Trump would be a privilege. So there was a story that was written in the Washingtonian. It's one of the highfalutin magazines there in Washington, D.C. The food editor, Jessica Sidman, said that any restaurant in the nation's capital would be in a losing situation whether it welcomed President Trump or not. So there is a pizza joint there, I'm just going to butcher the name here, the Mina Valley Pizzeria. Mina Valley Pizzeria. And they face boycotts and backlash after congratulating President Trump's win in 2024. I wish I'd have known that. The last time I was in D.C., I ought to have gone over for a slice. Now, it just seems to me that this is a great example of everything that is wrong with American politics right now. The idea that a pizzeria says, you know what, we would love to feed President Trump. You know, back in the day, that used to be a big deal, right? But now you can actually lose your business as a result of that. And here's where conservatives are so much more tolerant. Every time I go to D.C., I stop by a joint called Ben's Chili Bowl. It's in a long, long established black hot dog joint. And they've got great hot dogs and they have great chili. And so whenever I go to Washington, I'll drop by for a chili dog. And they call them half smokes. Amazing. I don't know what they do to the hot dogs, but they're really good. So anyway, there's a sign over the door that said the only people who eat here free are the Obamas. And they got a little picture of the former president. Okay, great. No problem. I got absolutely no problem with that. I've known this for years about Ben's Chili Bowl, but I don't care about their politics. They make a pretty darn good chili dog. And I'm going to go and I'm going to keep eating there, no matter what. So what's the big deal? And why are these liberals trying to shut down anybody that supports President Trump? They got TDS, ladies and gentlemen, and it is a terminal disease. Speaking of terminal, at the end of the radio program for today, we'll be back at it tomorrow. Don't forget, 5 o'clock Eastern, the Todd Stern Show on Newsmax 2. We'll be seeing you on TV in just a matter of moments. You get out there and be good, America.